Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
אתם מקשיבים לישראל ניוז טוק רדיו.
Hey everybody, I am broadcasting from the beautiful southern city on the Mediterranean Sea in Israel, the city of Ashkelon. Ashkelon is an ancient city. You'll read about it in the Bible, the story of Samson and Delilah. Remember that? Well, that's where I am right now. I have a lot to tell you about my trip down here. And also about where I was this afternoon. Sadly, I had to go to a funeral of a friend of mine. But I want to talk to you a little bit about her and also about her life and how I did a show with her many years ago, not that many, but a few, on how you can come and retire and live in Israel on the beach for cheap. It was a wonderful show. I got a lot of response from it. And I think that I would like to dedicate the show to her, to Laura. I'm not going to say her last name. I don't know if she would want that or not. But my friend Laura, the show is dedicated to you. And I hope I do you justice on this show. You were my roots here in the beautiful city of Ashkelon. And anybody who sees Laura's picture would say that she's a beautiful woman herself. In any case, it's not going to be a sad show. It's going to be actually a very interesting show. We're going to talk about death and dying in the show as well, the Jewish way. As again, I was at a funeral today, and I will be posting a picture of the cemetery here in Ashkelon to give people an idea what a Jewish cemetery looks like. I think it'll be interesting for those of you who are not familiar with that. And I want to say hello to all the people who are listening in from all over the world. I hope you learned something. Feel free to call into the show if you're listening from all over the United States, Israel, France, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Uruguay, hola, and Canada. Thank you all for tuning in. Tell your friends to come and listen. We are going to be back in just a minute with Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem to talk about death and dying in Judaism. Shifra Hoffman will be joining me, and I'll be telling you about how you can live on the beach here in Ashkelon. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Right, we are back here at Israel News Talk Radio on the Tamar Yonah Show, and I would like to dedicate this show to my friend Laura from Ashkelon. Laura was once a guest on my show several years ago, where we talked about how to be able to retire on the beach in Israel for cheap, and it really was. And in fact, that show got a lot of feedback on it because she was talking about how she was living off of her Social Security in an apartment on the beach here in Israel. And she was having a wonderful life. Laura was not rich. Laura was a nurse. She had a very interesting life. She used to go sailing in her years when she was a young mother and married. She also was a nurse. She even worked in Saudi Arabia, which was pretty bold for a young woman, especially, I imagine it was in the 1960s or 70s, perhaps. And Laura didn't really want to come on the show and talk about her life and Ashkelon because she was a little shy, but she agreed to do it because she believed in Aliyah. She left her home in the United States and she came to live in Israel. Her Hebrew was never fluent, but she got along and she wanted to be here with her people, with her nation. And for those of you who know a little bit about Ashkelon, you know where it's located. It's very, very close to Gaza. And unfortunately, Gaza likes to throw and launch its missiles and rockets against Ashkelon. Many times we get the red alert sirens. In fact, just a couple of days ago when I was here, there was a red alert siren, not in Ashkelon, but just south between Ashkelon and Gaza, and a kibbutz had a building that was hit by one of the rockets. Thank God nobody was physically injured. But we've seen some excitement here, but that didn't stop Laura. Laura loved her people. She loved Israel, and she loved God. And she made Aliyah here. Now, I remember I just posted very recently a picture on my Facebook page of the marina area, the beach marina area here in Ashkelon, on my Facebook page. And one of the first comments I got was, how is anybody supposed to make Aliyah when prices here are so high? I want to answer that question. Yes, property values in Israel are skyrocketing. It's an amazing investment. If you have the money, folks, you should invest in Israel. Do not buy another house or apartment in the United States or Europe or anywhere else. Come to Israel. This is where it's all happening. Amazing, amazing real estate market there is here right now. Things are going up, up, up. But if you're coming to retire, or if you're even coming as a young couple, you don't have to buy. You can always rent. That's what many of the people do here in the marina area of Ashkelon. Of course, all over the country as well. But let me just be specific here about being able to retire on the beach, because that's what was in Laura's heart. That's what she did, and that's what she talked about on that show that I did with her. I just did a little bit of searching right now. Prices have gone up since we did that last show several years ago. At that time, I think maybe it was, I don't know, $500 a month to rent a one-bedroom apartment. One-bedroom apartment means a kitchen, a living room, a bathroom or two, and probably just one bathroom and a bedroom. And it's a small Israeli apartment, but it's right on the beach. The weather in Ashkelon is mild. It is amazing. And there's a lot of retirees here from English-speaking countries, from Western countries. So they already have English speakers of Ashkelon that go out and do things together. It's a great life where you go out for breakfast, you have lectures. It's almost like living in a retirement home, but you're not living in a retirement home. You are independent. You are free. But people are very close-knit here. People are very friendly here. The weather is amazing. You walk outside. It's very dog-friendly if you have pets here. It's great to retire. You walk outside, you turn around, and there is the sea. There is the beach. There is the marina. And it is a just relaxation. It is an amazing place to retire. Now, those who say, but we can't do it, we can't do it. Today, the prices are higher. Today, I looked just today, right before the show, approximately as low as 2,600 shekels a month, which is around $750 a month, US dollars. You can get yourself a small one-bedroom apartment with a living room and kitchen and bathroom on the beach here in Israel. Or just one block away, a few steps away. Those of you who say I can't do it, let me tell you something. Let me tell you who the residents are here in this area, in the marina area. I see Westerners here from the United States, Canada, the UK, South Africa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of French people here, but also people who came with no or very little money to Israel when they made Aliyah. That's talking about Russians, Ethiopians, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if they can do it, if Russians who came from a communistic country and didn't have hardly a thing when they made Aliyah, if Russians can do it, you can do it. If Ethiopians can do it, who came, many of them, barefoot with just a blanket on their back and the clothes they were wearing, but barefoot, and they didn't have what you have if you come from a Western country. If they can make it, you can make it. So I don't want to hear these things where people are saying, I can't make it. How can Americans make it? If they can make it, you can make it. If you are from a Western country, you speak English. That already widens the amount of jobs that you can get. If you come from a Western country, you most likely could come with something. Besides you coming with English, you're probably coming with an education. You're probably coming with something that you are able to sell, your house, and or maybe you don't have a house, but you have a car. You are able to come with something. Plus an education, plus English. You already top the Russians and the Ethiopians and other people from around the world who made Aliyah. You're already coming with more. And if they can make it, you can certainly make it. Ashkelon is a beautiful city in Israel. You can come here. You can have that quality of life that you're looking for. You can probably make it still on your Social Security. And if you have any questions or you have doubts or you want to know if you can do it, feel free to contact me. I will help you. Why? Because I want you, my brothers and sisters, to make Aliyah. I want you to come home. The place where the Jewish people is here in Israel. This is where God wants us to be. Let's not forget, even if you live in a rich Western country like Australia, the United States, the UK, Canada, etc., the galut or the exile was a curse. Albeit, if you come from a Western country, it may be a comfortable curse, but it's still a curse. Not to be able to be with your nation, with your people, to experience what your people, your brothers and sisters are experiencing, to do it together, to be here, to thrive, to build, to make your life mean something, to really have an impact. You can only do that in Israel. You can grow up nicely in the United States or the UK or Australia or wherever you are. You can get a job. You can get your kids through school. But you're just perpetuating a cycle that is not a Jewish cycle. And you're not really building anything. But when you come to Israel, even retired people who've come here, they've come to retire and they find out they're needed. People say, oh, please help us with this, help us with that. You have the knowledge. We need your help. And they feel useful again. And they feel wonderful again. And you're making an impact because Israel is a small country. Israel is still a growing country. Israel, by the way, I believe, is going to be the next superpower. It's not going to be China. I don't think it's even going to be the United States anymore. I think Israel is the up-and-coming country in the world. We are coming out with the technology, the water desalinization, everything. Agriculture, turning a desert into green, what we haven't done here, and how we're helping African countries and other countries around the world, even places that have earthquakes and tsunamis and all sorts of troubles. Israelis are out there assisting and helping. This is the future. Come home and join your people. We need you. You need us. You need your land. The ground underneath your feet should be the land of Israel. And you shouldn't just come here to die or be buried here. You should come here to live here, to thrive here, to build here, and make your life really mean something. So your children, your grandchildren will say, I'm an Israeli today because my mama Rachel and my papa David left the golden Medina and came to Israel. Judaism is a religion that dwells and concentrates on life, not on death. don't just be buried here. Come and live here and build here and put your roots down here and put your future generations here, and you will be the ones responsible for that. When we get back, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Mordechai Ben Menachem. He's also a rabbi, and we're going to be finding out about death and dying and how it is done here in Israel and the Jewish way. Don't go anywhere, everybody. We're going to be right back.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're going to be talking on this segment about life cycles, about specifically about what happens at the end of life, Judaism and death. How is a person buried here in Israel? What does the body, what status does the body hold? How do we take care of it? So here to talk more about it, we have joining us Dr. Mordechai Ben Menachem. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and he's authored close to 60 books and 400 research papers. He's probably most known in the non-academic field for authoring the book Muslim Winter, as opposed to the Arab Spring. He served in Israel's War of Attrition and spent much time in Gaza, serving directly with, at that time, General Arik Sharon. He commentates on Mideast and world issues. And guess what? I bet you didn't know, he's also a rabbi. So welcome to the show, Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Ben Menachem.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you're right now actually in the midst of writing a book on life cycles and spiritual judgment. So let's take a look at death. What does death play? How does it play a part in Judaism, the body, etc.? So let's start from here. Someone dies, a Jewish person dies. What is now done? What's done with the body?
Well, you have to remember certain basic rules that are the basis for everything. First of all, it's very, very important to take care of that body. I mean, it cannot be disdained in any way. It cannot be buried within city limits or a town limits. It's prohibited from waiting for burial. You must bury it as soon after death as is physically possible, preferably the same day, even if that means in the middle of the night. And these are basic rules that govern all the other things that are going to happen.
Now, in the United States, when I went to a funeral or two there, they are buried in coffins. Here in Israel, I believe that the only people who are buried in coffins are IDF soldiers who have been in battle and may only have a small remnant of their body that's intact. Maybe they only have a thumb or a part of a body, and they don't want to startle the parents and the family, so they bury them in a box. But everybody else is buried in a burial shroud, like a white sheet. And that's what was today when I went to the funeral of Laura, Zichrona Livracha. So tell our listeners why. Why in a burial shroud, not in a coffin?
Why in a coffin, not a burial shroud? Where did the coffin come from? We just don't have that tradition. There's no reason for that. Now, in certain places, like in Florida, for instance, people are buried in coffins because that's the law there, because the water table is so high, the bodies are liable to float up and come out of the ground if they're not buried in a coffin. So it's not prohibited to bury in a coffin. It can happen. It's just not what is done.
What is the issue of trying to have the body return to the ground as quickly as possible? Isn't it true that if you bury somebody like in a metal coffin or something like that, it takes years and years for the body to be able to return to Mother Earth?
Well, there is an importance. There's an important aspect, and this is part of Kabbalah, to the decomposition of the body. It's very important, and it's something that has to occur. I don't know how deeply I should go into questions like that, because these are things that are really very difficult to comprehend on first reading. But in principle, when a person dies, he is in a state of judgment for 11 months. Now, there are certain ways that that judgment can be speeded up or foreshortened or all sorts of things like that. For instance, if one of his progeny, children, grandchildren, whatever, has a child during those 11 months, then those 11 months are foreshortened.
So I just want to make this clear to our listeners. When you're talking about they're under judgment, we're talking about heavenly judgment. In other words, a person has lived their life. Now they are in a spiritual realm where they are being judged by God and in heaven, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Keep going.
Okay. So the decomposition is a part of that process. Now, there are various opinions, and I don't want to go into different kinds of opinions about what exactly occurs. That it's very complex things, but in principle, we say the Kaddish prayer for a person for those 11 months. The 12th month, we do not say it, and then we renew it after on the anniversary of a year. We then renew it for every year for at least 20 years. Again,
okay. Can you explain what Kaddish is to our listeners who don't know what that is?
Kaddish is first of all, it's a prayer. It's written in the Aramaic language, not in the Hebrew language. It's very, very ancient. It predates the Talmud. It predates Christianity. It predates the Mishnah. No one really knows who composed it. There are different versions of Kaddish depending on circumstances. It's used in many different aspects of ritual life. And one of those aspects is for mourners. And in that case, in the English expression is it's the mourner's prayer. That's a bit of a misnomer. It's not quite that. It's a prayer which is essentially, in terms of its structure, it's a conversation between the person who is praying and the crowd around him. It can only be said with a minimum of 10, in the presence of a minimum of 10 people, and they answer him. And it's a sort of a comment and answer session, back and forth.
And all right. I just want to say, and whenever we hear that someone has died, what do we say? We say, Baruch Dayan Emet, Hayemet, right?
Correct.
Okay, translate that for our listeners and then explain why.
First of all, Dayan is like a judge. I don't think there's a specific word in English for that. It's not quite the same thing as shofet, so it's not exactly judge, but it's like a judge. Baruch means to he's blessed. In other words, the judger of truth is we bless the judger of truth,
which basically is God judged that this person it was their time to go, and so we have faith that God knows what he's doing,
and we're acknowledging that this is a just judgment.
Okay. And tell us about the body. About the soul. The soul leaves the body. And I understand that until the body is buried and even afterwards at the Shiva, the 7 days where the mourners of the family sit and mourn, the soul is still hovering around and it can see what's going on. Tell us a little bit about that.
I know
I'm going into Jewish mysticism here in Kabbalah, but just touch on that really, really quickly.
Okay. The soul is composed of various parts. There's one part which is the part that animates the body. The body is called in Jewish tradition, it's called the clothing of the soul. And when a person dies, he takes off his clothing. And the part that's that animates the body leaves. The part that deals with emotions and that the more or less automatic actions or semi-automatic actions like emotions leaves, and the part that is the inner soul, the I'm not certain. There really aren't the right words in English for this, but the part that's the inner spirit of the person hovers over the grave, according to our tradition, for 3 days, which is what we call the 3 days of tears. After that, it hovers in the area, usually where the Shiva is, but Shiva is always. It should always be in the house or the home of the person who died, person who has passed, whenever possible. If it's not possible, then a vessel.
Okay, Mordechai, let me just stop you there for a moment because we only have another 2 minutes and we do have a caller. Let's go to Shoshana from Portland, Oregon. Hi there, Shoshana. What's your comment or question?
Hi, Tamar. So, Rabbi, how do we understand when somebody young dies?
Excellent question, and a very hard question. Let me give you a very brief answer. In principle, according to Judaism, we have a concept called Gilgul Neshamot, which is somewhat translated as reincarnation. So in other words, we come back several times.
Because Mordechai, you have to answer this in like 60 seconds. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. So a person comes back each time that he comes back. He comes back in order to repair something or some damage that he has caused, to improve himself more. And generally speaking, again, this is a very general basic rule. Generally speaking, when someone dies very young, it's because he was very close to being repaired in his previous existence. And this time, he managed to complete the process. Because for that soul, it's a very happy occasion. It's horrible for the people that are left behind, but for that soul, it serves a purpose of something which is very, very wonderful.
Right. Well, thanks for your call, Shoshana. I really appreciate you calling in. I want to thank you as well, Dr. Mordechai Ben Menachem. You know, I'm going to have to do a full show on death and dying and what it means, what happens to the soul afterwards in a more intense way. We'll do that another time, but I want to thank you for coming on the show and just giving us a little bit of a touch of the feeling of what goes on during a funeral here with the Jewish people. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with Shifra Hoffman, everybody, so don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
We're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we are doing our Jewish activism segment with Shifra Hoffman. Shifra Hoffman is the founder of VictimsOfArabTerror.org, and she is the director of Shuva.net. And you wanted to talk today a little bit about the drought that Israel is experiencing. We got the gray weather, we got the cold weather, but there's no rain. Shifra, what do you have to say about that?
You know, you and I believe, are on the same page. Baruch Hashem Mizrach, we believe that the Almighty runs the world. And he left us his word. It's not something that is, not known. Anybody who reads the Shema Yisrael, the important prayer that Jews are bound to say, twice a day at least, the Hero Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Right after that, it says that if you will not do in this land that God gave you, fellow Jews, then God will withhold the rain and also the things that grow in the field, and there'll be a drought. So we have to look to see what we're doing wrong. And I would not be true to myself if I didn't say we were, I guess, the first organization, Jews for Morality, that said God absolutely said in the Torah it's an abomination to have gay marriage and gay sex and all of these things that are absolutely an abomination according to the will of God. So we have to see why there's a drought. Are we doing what God wants here or not?
Right. So are we?
Well, you know, I don't judge. I try to judge myself, not so many people. I have no right to judge everybody. But everybody should do what we call a cheshbon nefesh. Search yourself, especially here in Israel. We were given the laws. We are supposed to be a nation that is consecrated unto the Almighty. He chose us. It doesn't mean that we are better or worse than other people. It means that God chose us for a particular agenda. And the agenda is that we should do the moral thing. Certainly gay marriages and, you know, as I say in Yiddish, gay avek, go away. We don't want that. It's not right. It's not proper. And we have to see that the people who are in charge to do away with it. They have no right to pollute our holy city and our holy land. And also the other things, the violation of Shabbat, the violation of Kashrut. These are laws that God gave us to do. If we don't do that, why should we ask them, where is the rain?
Shifra, let's talk about something nice, and that is that U.S. President Donald Trump pardoned, he didn't really pardon completely, but he got Rubashkin out of prison. He does have to pay fines and things like that, but you wanted to talk a bit about that.
Well, you know, again, I'm not the judge or a jury. Rubashkin must have done something that he was sentenced, but the sentence was absolutely outrageous. It should have been a very light sentence, especially also in light of what they did to Jonathan Pollard, 30 years for something that should have gotten him a four-year maximum sentence. But they were judged as Jews, I'm sure of it. But I want to call attention to the fact that Donald Trump, a Gentile, saw fit to release or to pardon Rubashkin, but our Israeli president, Rivlin, he didn't see fit to pardon our soldier, the soldier that killed the terrorist. Of course he should have killed him. What else do you do with terrorists who had already stabbed someone? So I think you have to learn from President Trump, President Rivlin, because you're trying to be nice, 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 and what will the world say? But it seems that Trump doesn't care. He does what's right.
Well, talking about terrorists, you wanted to talk also about, quote, the wrong-headed decision by Israel's Supreme Court not to sentence to death the bestial Arab that murdered in cold blood three members of the Solomon family.
Tamar, dear, I tried to contact the families as much as possible. And we went there. We went just to the young widow with five orphan children. We bought them toys and to try to enlighten their lives a little bit. But what they are doing to that family here, the Israeli government, is outrageous and it's criminal. Why should they say, no, we cannot have a death penalty for him? No, no, that's out. So the Solomon family went to the Supreme Court. And they said, well, if you're going to destroy the house, destroy it now. They said, no, we can't destroy the whole house, only his room. No wonder that people in different countries, they must be thinking that Israel must be off the wall. In his room, you're going to destroy just his room? Why? On what basis? Well, because the family is innocent. Now the family is not innocent. Where does he get these ideas? But besides that, the family that is innocent is the Solomon family. Why should the widow and the mother who lost her husband and two children and the orphans to suffer because the Israeli government comes up with something stupid that says we should just destroy this room? I'll quote my late, great husband of blessed memory. My husband said, you want to destroy his house or his room? Put him in it. He should be destroyed together with the house.
Yeah, Israel does not have the death penalty for terrorists. Usually, I think the only person that they put to death in the modern state of Israel was Eichmann, if I'm not mistaken. And it's very, very hard to get that done. And something does have to be done about that. And there was one other topic you wanted to talk about, Shifra, the shameful groveling.
Yeah, just before we leave that topic, there was an item in the news also that a 92-year-old Auschwitz bookkeeper, he kept the books of how many Jews were being gassed and burned every day. That was his program to do. And he kept it. He did it. Now he's 92 years old. They want to sentence him to prison for about 4 years. I say from these microphones and everywhere I'm interviewed, shame, shame, disgusting. How should he live to 92 years old and tell his life when all of the murdered Jews didn't have a chance to live? From children, 2 million children and 6 million complete martyrs. I think it's disgraceful that they would wait until he was 92. Okay, now I want to also speak about another shameful thing, and that is there was an item about New Zealand. There's some pop singer, I don't know, I don't listen to the pop music, but anyway, no one ever heard of her. I don't think anyone ever heard of her. She changed her name to Lordy, and she decided to cancel the concert because, you know, the poor Palestinians, and she has feelings of conscience and so forth, the BDS, you know, Boy Scout. And the ambassador to New Zealand, our ambassador, how shameful that he would call her and appeal to her, please come. I want to speak to you about why you should do the concert, because, you know, it's not right and it's not good. Shame on you too, ambassador from New Zealand, our ambassador, Israel's ambassador. Why are you groveling to her? Who needs her here? Who wants her here? She's going to take Jewish money to sing a few silly songs? There are plenty of good entertainers, great entertainers, and they should be supported. They come to concerts here, Jewish and non-Jewish entertainers. They are the ones that bring pride and joy to Israel. And don't grovel on your knees for some non-entity that she has 2 minutes of fame because of you.
Shifra, how can people get in touch with you if they want to write you on what they've heard?
Okay, it's Hoffman Shifra, HoffmanShifra @gmail.com, or they can call if they want in the North in the diaspora, and that's 718-375-2532. And I want to say, as I always say, every day the situation for American Jews becomes more precarious, more attacks, more swastikas. What are you waiting for, you Jews, that you can't get out? Come on, pick up, pack up, and come home, and God will help you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Shifra Hoffman, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Well, that's been the show. We only have another minute or so left. I want to remind you all that to really, you know, it's the new secular year is coming up, 2018. It's a new year. It's time for, I know a lot of people are making New Year's resolutions, even though for Jews, this is always done at the beginning of the year for Rosh Hashanah at the end of the summer. But for those of you who are looking to 2018 for some changes, for something bright in the future, think, sit down in a quiet place and really rethink, where do you want your life to go? What do you want to be remembered by? What kind of impact do you want to make? Are you making the impact that you want to be making where you are now? If not, think about Aliyah. Think about changing the destiny of your family and making them real Jews here in Israel who speak our mamaloshen, our mother tongue is not Russian if we were Russian Jews. It's not English if we're American or UK or Australian Jews. Our mother tongue is Hebrew. And if we can't speak it, there's a pogrom. There's something wrong with us. We are Jews that are wounded and at a disadvantage because we have been living in the exile and we don't even understand what it is to fulfill our potential and to be a real Jew right here in the land of Israel where God wants us to be. Your family, if you're listening to me from outside of Israel, for at least 2,000 years has been exiled. Wouldn't you like to be the one that ends that in your family dynasty, that you made that move. And it was difficult. It's not easy to move to Israel, but it is rewarding. You sometimes have to give up quantity in your life, but you get quality in your life. And when you come to Israel, you really know what it is to be a Jew. You feel things with your people, with your brothers and sisters. It's all happening here. This is the place that God wants us to be. This is the place where it's fertile for the Jewish people to grow and be a light into the nations. Look what this little country, just 70, 80 years ago, we were wearing striped pajamas and starving to death and going to the gas chambers and going up chimneys in smoke. And today we are leaders in agriculture, medicine, technology, water desalinization. Property values are going up here. People are moving here. It's happening here. Apple comes here, and Microsoft and Google and all these places, and Intel and IBM. They're in this tiny country. This is where it's happening.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.